Another victory for the Sixers last night. 14-point win over the Charlotte Hornets. Pulled away late. Had a nice run.
Yeah.
Was tied at like 88, and then they just pulled away.
They put the foot down, man.
Yeah.
They just step on the gas. They got that ability now.
And last night also, Ben Simmons, his third triple-double in his last four games. And Joel Embiid last night paces the team in scoring 25 points. And also, yet again, 19 rebounds last night. To talk about the Sixers and where this is all heading, he covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philly.com. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Keith Pompey. Keith, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Well, thanks for coming on. The Sixers right now, Keith, we're seeing it, and Harry brought this up yesterday. They've become one of those teams that when an inferior opponent is playing against them, they can all of a sudden lean on that gas pedal and impose their will, and we've seen that with some late game victories over the last couple of weeks with this team. They're really starting to come into their own, aren't they?
Yeah, they're starting to come on to their own, but I think that, you know, Brett Brown would prefer that they stomped on the other team's neck like a little bit earlier in the first quarter. But yeah. I mean, they're showing an ability to close out games against inferior teams, and that's something that they struggled against before. But yeah, they look good doing it.
Well, you know, Keith, they're starting to figure this NBA thing out now. Like, you know, they're not veteran players, our younger players, but they're starting to figure out that you got to conserve a little bit in game during the NBA season.
I don't think that's conserving. I think what they're doing is, and Ben Simmons came out and said it yesterday. I mean, it looks like it, but Ben Simmons said that, you know, he doesn't know what it is. Like, I think what they're doing is they're going into these games thinking like, okay, we have the Brooklyn Nets, we have the New York Knicks, we have Charlotte, and we can go out there and get this game. We're a better team. And then next thing you know, they look up and it's like, oh, wow, it's closer than what we thought. Let's turn it on. You know what I mean? And I get it because, see, the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, at this particular time, in a perfect world, they want to get a big lead and they want to take everyone out, like, early in the fourth quarter to rest up. You know what I mean? These games are important enough for Embiid to play in, but at the same time, they would love for him to play three quarters and then relax. So that's what I believe is going on, you know, that these guys are taking teams lightly and then they're deciding like, hey, we have to turn it on. We got to get this win.
Hey, Keith, one of the things that we heard a couple weeks ago, maybe that Joel Embiid was suffering from a little bit of fatigue. And we talked about, well, should they rest him a game? How should they handle this situation? And his load management is always something they're considering. But then you see back-to-back games with 19 rebounds, and rebounding is all about effort and getting up and down the floor. He's battled through this fatigue. Is that a safe assumption based on what we've seen the last couple of games?
Yes, and the fatigue is something that you expect when there's a guy who, let's face it, I think he played, what, 90 games through his career. He didn't play beforehand. He didn't play back-to-back. Now he's playing four games and six nights. So, yeah, this is something that he had to go through. And then also is a will. I mean, you know, Embiid, he's the type of guy who's playing with a bruised hand. He's not trying to admit to it, but he goes out there, you know, every night and he's trying to produce and do what he can. He knows that his shot isn't falling. He's still committing a lot of turnovers, but his effort and his will is the reason why he's able to grab 19 rebounds, you know, the last two games.
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, the only blemish is the 9 turnovers out of the 15. But I think, you know, the coach, if he looks at that end number of 15 turnovers, that's not so bad compared to what they have been doing, right?
Yeah, they are improving. Now, they still, like you said, you know, compared to what they're doing, I mean, they still, like, rank towards the bottom in the league. But I remember once it was, like, 19 turnovers a game. You know, now I believe they're at like 16. So it is getting better. And then there was a stretch where they really didn't turn the ball over that much. So, yeah, he would love that. And when you look at it, you know, Embiid had a bad game. You pointed out they had 15. He had 9 of them. So Ben Simmons didn't have a turnover at all.
Right.
So you know, everything is, you know, pointing in the right direction for the Sixers.
We're talking with Keith Pompey, covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith, Ben Simmons, you just mentioned him. Again, a triple-double, his ninth on the season, three in his last four games. Granted, he wasn't, he didn't light the scoreboard up last night with just 11 points, but a triple-double is a triple-double in the NBA. He's taken his game and court awareness, if you will, to a whole different level. No turnovers last night. How impressive is it what he is doing on the basketball floor right now, playing in the NBA and having the success he's having now on a very consistent nature?
I mean, it's extremely successful and impressive because when you think about it, you know, when the Sixers said in the beginning of the season that, or last season, that Ben Simmons was going to be their point guard, you know, I kind of looked at it like, okay, let's see what this looks like. I know he's going to be getting stripped. I know that, you know, he's not going to be able to defend people. You know, he may have a couple good games, but then there's going to come a point in time where they're going to make him, like, you know, a power forward again. And you look at it, and this guy has 9 triple-doubles. He didn't have a turnover. You know, 15 assists. You know, there are still some things that he has to improve upon because he's a young guy. But when you factor in that this is his first year, you know, playing the position, and he's a rookie, you know, the sky is the limit, and it's only going to get better for him. So it's extremely impressive. And the thing about it is, you know, Ben is, before, you know, he was quiet, and now that he had 3 triple-doubles in 4 games, he mentioned twice, hey, y'all, you know, everybody worries about me scoring the ball, but that's not my game right now. You know, right now I'm a distributor. And when you think about it, you know, Ben Simmons is the fourth option on his team. I mean, first is Embiid, then it's J.J. Redick,
and
then it's Dario. Yeah. So when you think about that, you know, I know a lot of times when they lose games, everyone's saying, yo, you got to shoot the ball more, you have to shoot the ball more. But the way this team is designed, he's the fourth option offensively. Now, it's going to change in the future, you know, as he develops his jumper. But right now, the things that he's doing is distributing the ball, grabbing rebounds, and trying not to turn the ball over, and defending is what's going to propel the Sixers, you know, to the next level.
Yeah, we talked to Brett Brown last week, and I asked him about, you know, how does he see Ben's development? And he said, starts with free throw shooting, then finishing in the paint, then the jump shot, and then finally the 3-point shot.
Yeah. And it's the reason why I laugh is because Brett is like, you know, Brett's been saying that since preseason. So it's like he's sticking the script. And it's right. And I think, you know what it is? I think, like, Ben just has to become more comfortable. Like, if you go to get there pregame and you see Ben work out, or if you come to the tail end of practice, you know, Ben, you know, and I'm not saying all of them are pretty, but, you know, Ben will attempt maybe 4 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. He'll make at least 2 of them, right? And there's always one that goes off the side of his arm, and you're like, wow, what's that? But it just seems like, you know, he just needs to get comfortable. He has to focus. But when he does that, he makes the shot. The only problem is that, and he even admitted to it, is that, you know, he's so used to getting to the rim. Like, there hasn't really been anyone who can impede him from getting there, to whereas he feels as if he doesn't have to take the 3-pointer. Mm. So whereas, you know, he doesn't want to fail on doing it because he can get to the rim. So once someone, like, stops him from doing that, then we'll see it. But I'm just telling you, from what I'm seeing now at practice and what I'm seeing in pregame, it's a whole lot better than it was in the beginning of the season. So he is improving.
Speaking of shooting, we see the daily videos of Markelle Fultz. And we've gone through the progression of these videos now, Keith. I know you put a lot of them out as well. It was really ugly in the beginning. It started to get a little bit better. And lately, the videos that we're seeing of Markelle Fultz and his ability to shoot the ball has improved greatly. Should we expect that to mean that he will end up on the floor here in this regular season?
You know, I think that we will see him in this regular season. I do. You know, I was under the impression, or I thought that we were going to see him sooner, you know, than now, you know, and I think that's probably what the Sixers wanted. And maybe Markelle, You know, the only now I do think that we're going to see him. The only reason why I think we would not see him is just because these games are starting to mean something, you know, more and more to the Sixers. And this, the thing is, like, yes, Markel can do something that other people can't. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his game. And, but I think that if I'm the Sixers and I'm leery, the only thing that I would be leery of is, like, heading into the playoffs, you really want to reduce your bench. And now we're going to have to bring in a guy who hasn't played for 65 games and see what he can do, you know. And then, you know, coaches, they won't come out and say this, but they can get a little nervous, like, well, what if I bring this guy in and he struggles, but I'm taking minutes from someone else? So I think that they have to be extremely comfortable with him coming back, and he has to be extremely comfortable with coming back. But like you said, the videos, now again, we're watching videos of him doing layups, of him shooting jumpers. We're not seeing videos of him actually in a game going 5-on-5 with people. But the stuff that we're seeing now is impressive compared to what we saw a month ago or 2 months ago. So there is improvement. But if I'm the Sixers, you know, that's just something you really have to think about, because at the same time, as much as I think he should play, the Sixers are gambling on him, you know, thinking that he can help this team moving forward.
Hey, Keith, last one from me. What would you say right now looks like the most ideal matchup for the Sixers in the playoffs in the first round? And what is the one team they definitely want to avoid?
You know, it's weird. Like right now, I can't say one team you want to avoid. I would have to say two.
Okay.
I don't think they want Boston or Toronto right now. I would try to stay away from them, but I don't think they'll face them. You know, if I had to pick a team, I guess I would go after the Washington Wizards. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, just based on what the Wizards are going through right now, like you have John Wall, you know, he's going to come back. You know, he's feeling a little like slighted because, you know, the team has been playing well without him. And they were saying that they were playing well without him. So when he comes back, he may try to do a little bit too much. You know what I mean? Mm. The thing is, like, I think Indiana would be a good matchup too, but the Sixers will have to match their physicality. And then also with Miles Turner, he's not as good as Embiid, but he's a good matchup to go against Embiid. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to give up some, but he's going to get some. Now, the thing about Cleveland, the Cavs scare me when you talk about Kevin Love coming into the picture. I do not think the Sixers have anyone on their roster who can stop Kevin Love. Forget about LeBron. I just don't think that Ersan or Dario or Justin Anderson, any of these three guys I think who would defend him, can stop him. I just don't see it. So, you know what I mean? So if I had to pick a team right now, I say let's play the Wizards.
Yeah, you might. That may be the favorable matchup, and they're only a half a game behind the Wizards in the standings. Keith, we appreciate it. What I know for sure is they're kind of one of those wild card teams in the Eastern Conference, and boy, nobody's going to look forward to playing against them. That's for sure.
No, you're right about that. And fellas, thanks for having me on the show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Keith Pompey joining us.